Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
So do you sometimes feel as a parent that your kids are pulling away from you? And I get this feeling, and then I feel bad that I have this feeling, and I say to myself, God, I've got to notice these times. I have to remember these times and cherish them, and I have to get my kids to talk to me and be involved in this so that they remember these times as well. And how do you reconnect if you feel like you've lost just a little bit of that to their phones and their school and their busy schedules and their extracurricular activities? Well, we are going to find out today from Dr. Corinne Cross. She is an AAP spokesman and a pediatrician. Welcome to the show. So Dr. Cross, reconnecting, first of all, we shouldn't have to reconnect. We should always be connected. However, in this busy day and age, and the kids are in school, and then they come home and they're on their phones or they're doing homework, how do we keep that connection alive?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. You know, you do always want to be connected, but you do also want to realize that, you know, what we want is we want to be there for our kids and keep those lines of communications open, because we never know what's going on in their lives and what day it's going to be that they actually need us. So we need to make sure that even if you feel like you've got the best relationship with your kid, you want to periodically check in with them and let them know that you want to talk about something, even if it's a little bit more deep or controversial or not as fun as the normal things that you guys chit-chat about, maybe going back and forth to school or around the dinner table, that you're there for them if they're having, you know, one of those days where they just need to vent. And I think that the most important thing that we can do for kids is let them know that, you know, not only do we love them, which we tell them all the time, but that they're worthy of our time. And I think that that is a real big difference. Like, it's very easy to kiss your kids goodnight and say, okay, love you, right? And you do. You love them, and you're kissing them goodnight, and you're kissing them goodnight every night, and that's absolutely great. But making it a point to stop and sit down with them for even if sometimes 5 minutes, it doesn't have to be a huge chunk of time. These conversations can happen in the smallest amount of time, but actually stopping what you're doing, not bringing your device around with you for, you know, an evening, sitting down with them saying, hey, you know, how's it going? Just wanted to, you know, check in with you before we go to bed tonight. Like, everything good? You know, how are things going? Anything you want to talk about? How are things going with your friends? How are things going, you know, with your girlfriend or with boys or whatever? And then I always like to throw this one in. So how are Dad and I doing? Anything we can work on to make the family better? Anything you want to tell me about us? You know, and it's funny because my kids always have suggestions about that, and they're usually pretty quick with it. But the truth is, they're usually on point. Whatever they say, I'm always like, wow, you know what? You're right. We should work on that as a family. And thank you for bringing that up. And then when I actually implement that, I usually give that kid a look. I'm like, hey, thanks for the suggestion, because I want them to know that I'm listening to them too. And so I think that that's really important. It's not just reconnecting as a whole family, but finding some one-on-one time with each of your kids. And it's not necessarily this huge amount of time. It could be the difference between saying, like, hey, I'm going to Target, anybody want to come, to saying, do you, whatever your child's name is, Betsy, want to take a ride with me? Because when you single them out, they feel like, wow, you want to spend some time with me? Do you want to come to the hardware store with me, you know, Peter, whatever their names are? And that makes them feel like you really want to spend time with them. And I think that that's really important as parents. We're so busy that we need to have some, like you put, device-free time with our kids.
So, Dr. Cross, it's great when parents show those kids that they want to spend time with them. But what if you feel that these teenagers feel that it's much more cool to spend time with their friends? I mean, and I say to my son, let's take a walk uptown, go to Whole Foods with me. You know, we'll use the stroller, we'll push it uptown, use it for our groceries. And you know, and he'll do that if I sort of say, come on, come with me, so that we can do that. But I don't always feel that they want to do that. And how do we get our kids, especially the teenagers, to want to be with us? It's not that cool to be with your parents.
No, and it is true that, you know, kids in their teenage years, you know, they do. They pull away from their parents. Their most important peer group are their peers. So that's completely normal. And I think that as a parent, you see this a lot when you read books maybe, or you see it in movies. It's like the kid's pushing away from the parent, but if the parent doesn't stay there for them, that's when they get mad. So they might be pushing you away, but they expect you there for them, and they need you there.
True, that's true.
And it's kind of funny, right? Because they're pushing, and so your thought would be like, okay, I'm going to give you your free space, but as soon as you give me your free space, you don't love me. So
that's
you
right.
need to make sure you're still trying, even if you're getting shot down. Your job as a parent is to keep trying, because the truth is, and you and I were talking about this before, is we want to raise resilient children. I mean, that's a new term that people throw around a lot, resilience. But when you have a kid who doesn't get knocked down and stay down, the reason is because they truly believe in themselves, and they believe in themselves because they've had somebody in their corner their whole life. And it could be a grandparent, it can be a parent. So it's not just reconnecting as parents, but grandparents can reconnect with their kids too, with their grandkids. But you want to be there for them. So I would say what you're doing is forcing your kid to sort of, you know, guilting them into it. That's a good thing, because even if they're doing it begrudgingly, they know in their heart, wow, my mom really wants to spend time with me. And it might be, you know, if you're not against it, pulling them out of school on a slow day and saying, you know what, you know, once, and it doesn't have to be a lot, once a year you pull them out of school and you say, we're going to have a hooky day, you're
I love
the coolest
that.
Mom ever. Like, we're going to go to a museum, a movie, shopping and go have lunch. And it's not about buying them things or spending a lot of money.
Just
it's
the
about
time.
The experience. Mm-hmm. And it might just be, you know, hey, as a family, we're going to go on a bike ride or a picnic, and yeah, you know, we're going to go. And if they say that horrible line, can I bring a friend? If you have more than one kid, the best line to give them back is, we actually made you a friend. They're already coming. Right? Because
oh, that's great.
Whole bringing a friend is crazy.
Well, and I do that too. I say, you know what, we're going on a picnic, we're going hiking in the woods. Oh, really? Come on, guys, get your shoes on, because we are going. And then they always end up having such a good time. And I will agree with you that sometimes the kids will feel like they're pushing you away, but even with my son, Dr. Cross, he's almost 17, I'll like go in there and he'll say, I'm busy, and I'll start to walk away and he'll say, where are you going? You know, or wait, come back in here. I wanted to play this for you or show you this. You know,
right.
If he's playing guitar
and
or something.
That's the joy of having a teenager.
Yeah, but that's so funny. And I always come back in. I'm like, oh, I thought you wanted me to leave. Well, no, I want you to hear what I'm doing first, or, you know, something. So it is sort of contradictory that way, which makes me laugh.
Yeah, and as a parent, you can't take it personally, and you have to realize that that's really what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, because the kids who don't do that, who don't have that autonomy and don't develop that independence during their teenage years, they don't end up normal, right? Like, they're the kids who are hanging around and can't figure out how to leave their parents. So you don't really want clingy kids who can't
yes, I do.
Figure it out.
I do. I want clingy kids, and I want them to stay around, and I want to, like, homeschool them through college and just make sure they get married and live here. No, I know I'm not allowed to do that. So I'm trying.
I'm trying to
reconnect without being hovering and without helicoptering them. And you got to, that's a fine line, Dr. Cross. That's where that fine line for parents is that reconnecting, spending time and not hovering so much that they're like, okay, it's enough now with the family outings.
Right. But I also think you can have those family events, maybe your cards night or your Uno or, you know, family air hockey tournaments or your family dinners where you make like your pizzas or whatever and you do it all together. You can have those things, which are those productions. But I think what you just mentioned about going in and listening to your son play something, or when you're standing in the door and you're, you know, asking them something and you realize there's that moment where they're like, no, I wanted to share something with you. That one-on-one time, those 5 minutes, that's where you're making those connections as a parent. And you just have to realize that it's happening, so you don't look at your phone and you're like, oh, this is it. This is my moment. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to listen. Then I'm going to ask him how he's feeling about stuff. And then I'm going to leave. And that's it. That's our moment. Because when you have a teenager, that's all you sometimes get are those 5-10 minutes. You've got to make the most of it.
You do. Now, you mentioned, you know, looking at your phone. So again, with the teenagers and tweens too, they're looking at their phone. And it sometimes seems that Snapchat and Instagram and all of these things are more important than anything at all. And sometimes I don't want to threaten, but I want to be like, okay, look up, talk to me, and put that thing down. And mm-hmm. So then they look up grudgingly, like, you know, what is it you want, while I'm looking at my phone kind of through the bottom part of my eyes. What do? We don't want to discipline them or threaten or take those phones away, but we also want them not to impede this connecting time.
Absolutely. And I think that as these devices have become more prevalent, it's it's become really obvious that we need to have device-free times. And so I think having device-free dinners, if you start just with that so that you get the concept of there are times when we don't have devices, and that applies to everybody in the family, adults as well as the kids, that that is a wonderful like idea, this device-free time. And I know Common Sense Media right now is running a device-free dinner campaign, and I think that's great. So you start maybe with something like that, but then if you're going to go on your hike or your bike ride, you say, you know what, we're going to do this device-free. I'm leaving my phone, so is everybody else, or we're going to leave them in the car. And if you start to have this concept of device-free time, and you actually say, you know what, I'm going to take you out to lunch today. I'm going to leave my phone in my purse. You know, how about, would you mind doing the same thing, or would you mind not taking it out? This way we have some time that's just us. I think if you start demonstrating that behavior, but making it a point to say, this is what I'm doing, and it's conscious, that hopefully your kids will follow that up. Now, some kids might need more of a plan and might need to actually talk it out and say, hey, we need some device-free time because we feel like you never look up. When do you think that would work for you? Do you want to put it away, you know, during dinner and maybe for an
hour?
That's
a great idea.
You know, between here and there, you know, finding that out. For different kids, it's different, but we definitely as parents have to make sure that we lead as by example, because I can't tell you how many times, even with little kids at the park, I don't see the parents ever look up. And they're watching. They're watching that behavior, and that's the behavior they learn.
Yeah, so, and I'm going to share with you and the listeners just a little story that happened to me recently when we went on spring break. My son lost his phone on a ski run that's 8 miles long. And so you can't go back up and then find your phone because it takes you like 2 hours to get down this thing. And he was almost in tears at the bottom. It was snowing. It wasn't anything we could do about it. And we were out of the country. So we couldn't get him a new phone. We couldn't do anything for the next 6 days. And I thought he would freak out. But as the days went on, and he couldn't use it anyway while he's skiing, he like felt freer. He freed himself from it. And it was some of the best days that we have spent together because he was never looking down at anything except maybe his fingernails, you know? So it was amazing. So I want to tell other parents out there, you don't have to freak out if your kids lose their phone or do something like that. Maybe say you can't replace it that quick or something along those lines and see how that works out, because it worked out great for us.
Or maybe don't bring them on vacation.
Maybe don't. Well, they want to take pictures and put them on Snapchat and Instagram and everything, you know. But, I mean, it's not a bad lesson for parents that we don't have to rush right out and get them those devices, because that little time that they don't have them, there has to be something else going on.
That is good advice, because it's true. Those devices, as much as they bring us connect together and connect us with other people, they sometimes also drive a wedge between you and the person who's sitting next to you.
I think they do so very often. Where can you go in the world and stare down at your phone? So wrap it up for us, Dr. Cross. How you want parents to reconnect with their kids, and what you want us to do to make sure that we maintain those lines of communication and keep with our kids so that we know what's going on with them and they feel special and loved.
So that's just it. We want to reconnect with our kids. And like you said, we want to make sure that we're always connected, but we want to make sure that we take special time every once in a while just to check in periodically, because you never know when they're going to need you. You want to make sure you make them feel important and loved, but most important that they're worthy of your time, and you need to give them that time. And that time, as they get older, might come in these little 5-minute snippets, but you have it. And you can also create these family events where you can create family traditions or go on family dinners, family bike rides, those sorts of things. But it's not just about doing everything together as a family in these big productions. It's about little one-on-one time. And particularly when you have a lot of kids, singling one kid out at a time and saying, you're important to me, and I want to spend time just with you. And even if it's not something huge, maybe it's like taking a ride to the hardware store together, but we're going to do it together, and we're going to spend this time chit-chatting. And remember that as they get older, they're going to try to push you away. That's normal. It's not because they don't love you. But your job as a parent is to give them that space, but be there when they need you, and make sure you're constantly checking in, because they do really want you around. They just don't want to say it, and they don't want you that close. but they don't want you to leave them either. And remember, you can let them know you love them with little notes on the mirror in the morning, on a post-it, or a little text during the day. I mean, there's lots of little things you can do, you know, throughout the day just to let them know you're on my mind. And those little things, that makes a difference between how they feel and how confident they feel as a person. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise confident, resilient kids, and we're laying the foundation for the type of relationship we want when they're older in life, where we want them to want to have us around.
That's right. And I think we're being good role models by teaching them those things so that they will do the same with their children. And that's how it passes down. Thank you so much, Dr. Cross. Really great advice for parents today about reconnecting with your kids and keeping those communication lines open, talking with your kids, spending time without devices, having dinners together. All of these things are what make a family really work and help these kids to know that they're loved and still have that autonomy and little independence that they really want. So thank you so much for being with us. You're listening to Healthy Children, where our experts are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Stay well.